is Off Stage and On Air, performance number 418. I'm Nick Mayo, along with my other half of Nick Squared, Nicole Shiro. You are listening to KOOP HD1, HD3, Hornsby, and KOOP.org. Each week, we take a lively look at theater from many different angles. If it's theater, it's on offstage and on the air. This week, we have Different Stages' production of The Dresser and City Theater's production of Taming of the Shrew. Show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step out up.
Mr. Hudson, colon, my eyes are fully open to my awful situation, so I'm writing you a letter to demand an explanation.
What a great choice, Nicole Shiro. As I said, today we have Different Stages' production of The Dresser and City Theater's production of Taming of the Shrew. And of course, we'll have lively and opinionated discussions, including the news and views from the world of theater in Austin, New York, Boston, Poughkeepsie, Traverse City, Melbourne, Australia, Venice, Indonesia, and Phuket. The news of our office was affected by your papers, which is why I choose to write to you a confidential letter full of strong recommendations. Take your forex better. It's so a skip
well,
in that
hello.
CD.
Oh, something's going on. I'm like, what's going on? Well, you thought I chose that song, but that actually was a Lisa Shep's number. That was her contribution today.
Oh, Lisa, we miss you today.
We miss you, Lisa Shep's. I quickly want to thank Kim, but Kim wasn't here today. Robert Sims
was
rocking the
show.
International Folk Bazaar today.
It was. He was playing some of those movie scores. I felt like I was Lana Turner in the 1950s in Acapulco, climbing up the cliff to be the cliff diver.
He said, I hope this keeps the international flair, and I have to say, I felt it did.
It did. I was on those cliffs.
So Lisa chose that song because I sent you guys a text saying, if you had a theme song right now in your life about what's currently happening from a show tune, what would your theme song be? And she texts me back, that dictation song from Millie.
That's so funny. And did you get that from a CD, Nicole?
I did, but somehow I burned it. And somehow we did something. I think it might be the CD player. But that's okay. We're going to pretend that's not going to happen to all the rest of the music. And if it does, I don't hear anything.
I don't hear anything. Nicole, what's going on in your world? How are you doing?
I'm crazy.
Yeah, what's going on?
Everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's good. It's good. Making artistic magic all around. I did not this week. Last week I did three, which is like crazy train for me.
Nice.
And I have not been able to this week. Instead, I've been working on theater.
Well.
So, you know, it's a contribution.
It's a contribution.
As Sondheim says, you know, I'm putting it together. Hello. So we have a lot of people in the studio today. And
we
let's do a quick introduction to everybody before we get down into news. Hello, Bob Tolero.
Hello, darling.
Oh, Bob, it would be nice if I turned on your mic. Hello, Bob Tolero.
Hello, darling Nicole. Hello, dear.
Sometimes known as a cocoa host around here in this joint.
Mm-hmm.
So, hello, Ev Lunning. How are you?
Ev Lunning, just marvelous today.
Yes, we haven't had you on in a while. I don't think it's been a while. So it's so lovely to have you back. Norman.
Lovely to be here.
Norman Blumenstadt.
Hello.
A fixture here. And Norman is missing Lisa Shep's today, Lisa.
Yes,
he was saying that. We all miss you. Rory, I was doing really good remembering everybody's first and last name. And Rory, I am sorry. Rory Roberts.
Yes.
Rory Roberts,
hello.
Welcome to the show. Brittany Fleury.
Yes, hello.
Hello. And Michael Meigs.
Hi, the three of us are here from City Theater's Taming of the Shrew.
Yes, we are going to have you guys on here in a little bit and have the Different Stages folks. We're going to talk a little bit about theater. Hopefully, y'all will join in a bit, and then we'll get to talk about all your shows, which is exciting.
So I'm looking at the top of your list, Nicole.
Yes.
Romy and Michelle's high school reunion.
Well, this is for Lisa, because Lisa's been really excited about... I mean, I can't say I'm not excited, but I'm not like, woo! But so Romy and Michelle's high school reunion, they made it into a musical. It actually opened in Seattle.
I was there. I was in Seattle last week.
And
it looks like the Fifth Avenue Theater has been doused in Pepto-Bismol. It's the pinkest,
fluffiest.
Really? It is so bright and cotton candy.
Did you go?
I didn't know.
Oh, did you not want to go?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's funny because they say it follows the screenplay right down to the structure that drifts in and out of flashbacks and fantasy, and it retains that same delightful comic voice. I was like, really?
Wow.
Interesting.
Well, because that's definitely like a piece that centers around Lisa Kudrow's comedy and aesthetic. And what was her name? The other girl, the girl who played
Mia Sorvino and yes. Lisa Kudrow.
Mia Sorvino. So I would imagine that that's challenging. And the lead actresses in this is Courtney Wolfson and
Stephanie Renee Wall.
Those are some big high heels.
There's a lot of big people back behind it. Who directed Rock of Ages is the director.
Kristen Hagee.
Thank you. I'm like, can't think of a name offhand. But there was like a few little things that I saw in all the different reviews that I read were kind of like this one says, some of the notable clunky transitions and fleeting dead spots on opening night will doubtlessly smooth out during the course of the run. So like anything that was a they were like, oh yeah, but they'll be able to fix this. And oh, there was a mention of a lot going on the set in one of these.
Here's my thing about something like Romy and Michelle's, which is definitely like a high school or a culty sort of very specific type of audience. It's not a very good movie. There's just a couple of parts in the movie that are really funny. So
neither
how
is Waitress, but that's on Broadway.
Oh, I disagree.
I do not like that film. I find it so boring. I'm like, really? But I love the music in Waitress, like the musical. So I'm like, well, I guess that's a good balance of...
What I like about this is that Seattle, our kind of sister theater city with some similar struggles that we have here in terms of closing their doors and struggling to reinvigorate a community around theater, is getting a tryout. I'm not even going to say pre-Broadway because I don't think that there's...
I think they may do like what Freaky Friday is doing, and go around and tour a bit before and see.
But I'm happy that Seattle is getting something like this. That makes me happy.
So I was shocked at all the different stuff I read, but yeah, that's what's going on. But the other reviews for the next show that I have written on our little agenda here, I didn't want to print all the pictures out because A, the listeners can't see them. And B, I didn't want to kill a tree, but oh my gosh. So I get so excited talking about it right now. So this is all about Ghostlight. Have y'all heard anything? It's the Claire Tau Theater. It's taking place at the Claire Tau Theater at Lincoln Center. It's part of Third Rail's projects. And basically, it's an immersive piece where most of the theater and the piece happens backstage. And you go into these different, so it's the same creators that did Then She Fell. So it's a special tour of the hoary legends, superstitions,
what you call me?
And rituals that remain sacrosanct in the hearts of even the most jaded playmakers. So it's directed and choreographed by Zach Morris and Janine Willett. So you go in and out. From backstage, you pass through corridors, you'll see views changing, you see ballet pieces. There's a kind of a ringmaster. I love that Ben Brantley writes this one part. I met this dying diva earlier in her dressing room. And he's talking about this woman. He's like, I happened to bring her roses, which plopped into my arm by the stage manager. So there's...
So it's sort of a little Sleep No More meets Noises Off meets...
In an actual, you know... In the theater, what a way to see like backstage. So many people don't ever get that opportunity.
I just wonder what the liability is of those houses. My goodness.
I have no clue, but I did laugh at this. It says, be warned. You may be asked to take part in the rehearsal of the pastiche Elizabethan play, overseen by an actor manager dressed in the image of William Shakespeare. Or to help conjure the sound and visual effects for a woman in a rowboat reaching for the moon. Or to arrange a model set. But you'll never be asked to take center stage.
See,
so there's a lot of, and it's interesting because I read so many different reviews and so many different people focused on something completely different, which is what you get when you see all these images from the, I don't want to say vignettes, but from these different moments throughout the theater, they look completely different.
But they stay only on the top floor there, I suspect. They're not going down into the Vivian Beaumont area at all. That's where we rehearsed Anne, is in those two studios there. And they're not large, so I don't think that theater seats more than 150.
And you know what, Bob? I think one of the articles, and I didn't. Let's see. There's a. It says one of has been a closet-sized space.
Right.
Yep. The pale young man with the soul actor in the closet space where the show began for me. And it went on. There was once in a dance studio. Is there a rehearsal space or
there's
a large
rehearsal space with a lot of windows and a lot
of, one's in a dressing room. Mm-hmm. One is in a, is there a scenic or a wardrobe area where they stock stuff was another that I read.
Mm. Bob, what are your thoughts about this kind of theater? What are, do you enjoy this?
It could go or not go. It depends on the electricity. Certain audiences enjoy that. Sleep No More is some people love it. Some people walk out halfway if they can find a door.
Ev, what about you? Does this make you want to like run and go and put roses in someone's lap backstage or?
What oh, I'm of an age where I just like to sit and be entertained. I have to earn my bread with it.
I'm kind of with you.
So it uses, quote, every square foot off stage and on stage, from the stairwells to stage left, stage right, dressing rooms, but everywhere.
But some people actually think that that's, I mean, the new artistic director of the Shaw Festival, the Androcles and the Lion that they're doing, kids build the props for every performance. Mm-hmm. And then they do it. I mean, so some people really want that, the audience totally involved in what's going on.
Well, I think for me, there's, I completely understand what you're saying, and I find that appealing. I just don't want to have to work that hard. I mean, I don't want to, I mean, really, I don't chase after my beef to have a hamburger. I don't want to sit and like chase after some enlightenment or some entertainment at the theater.
I kind of agree with you. Sheer Madness was like that. I didn't want to decide who was the culprit. I didn't want to. Yeah. I just didn't. So
I remember feeling guilty. I did a production of The Mystery of Edwin Drood. You know, you have to vote at the end. I felt so bad being like, hey, lady, engage, vote. I'm like, you don't have to. You look like you're tired or drunk. Good for you on both.
But some people love it. Love that.
So I was about to say, I think we all get to work in a stage. And for someone who never gets to experience that or always has a dream sitting in the audience of, oh my gosh, imagine if I could interact with the actor or have these moments. I mean, it gets them excited about theater. Mm-hmm. Different strokes for different folks. That's what makes the world go round.
Get it, Nicole.
Okay. So we have a lot to talk about. Did you see that the musical boosts after the Tonys, a majority of the non-winning musicals, which is not normal every year. Oh my goodness. Who's your friend?
No, I tried to end the phone call and then it started a phone.
Like that.
There's a phone. There's a baby.
It is a baby.
Go away.
Nick has a baby.
Sorry. I'm sorry, it's trying to go away.
We did. Nick did not adopt a baby.
The phone just went off and it was a baby.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. So majority of all the non-winning musicals all got a boost in past Tony Grosses this week. I thought that was kind of awesome sauce. On top of it, the plays did too. Oslo had a boost of over $100,000.
I'm sure.
And Decent had a six-figure jump. But well, Donna Murphy went walking into Hello Dolly and actually bumped some numbers on that one. I was like, go Donna, because I thought that was awesome sauce. Who doesn't love Donna Murphy? Come From Away, Bandstand had its best week to date after their performance.
You know, and they've also been a lot. They've been in the press a lot. They were on Good Morning America yesterday. Bandstand, who they're doing a lot.
Yeah, well, guess who else had the other best week? The Grobes, Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet in 1812, which again was the most fun and crazy. So,
it was fantastic. As I was watching that Tony performance, Michael turned to me and he goes, they just sold a bunch of tickets.
That's what I literally, my brother stopped and goes, this is the greatest thing ever. This is, and I go, and what's so cool? That's not even their set. That's not even, they created that experience in the theater.
And that's a different kind of immersive
with
theater.
The vodka and the pierogies down the aisle.
I like immersive theater when they give me a vodka and a pierogi.
There you go.
And the grubs. So I got a little, oh my God, I think Nick got one of my raving lunatic rants on this next thing. Oh, you know what? Do you want to take a moment? Lisa, you know, we love the Randy Rainbow on here.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
And Lisa, Randy came out with a new song, and Lisa has been really awesome at taking Randy's great work and mashing it up and making it kind of her own. So Lisa made us a new one for this week with Randy's new mix using some of the music from Grease, and I'm just going to play that.
did the Russian back miss?
Oh well, oh well, oh well, oh.
Russian schemes, what could they mean? But those Russian
okay, here's what's funny. It we don't have a skip in the CD anymore, but we did because it skipped the whole beginning of the really funny part and just went to the end, which is kind of really hilarious.
Well,
so,
but
we resolved the skips in the music. Woo! So Lisa will put that up there. That Randy Rainbow, I love that he takes all the musical theater and does his own. I am going to say the views expressed on this show are solely of ours and not of Co-op, the station, or the board of directors. They're just ours.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So there.
So there. So that was kind of funny. All right. I kind of got angry about this, and I think I sent you a Raving Lunatic
text. Kind of got angry.
Text. So if I see one more headline that says Bruce Springsteen comes to Broadway, I'm going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
The dude rented a theater and is doing his musical performance on a Broadway stage. Mm-hmm. There is no narrative. There is no story. It's a rental. I think it's awesome that Bruce is doing an intimate show like this. But the media needs to stop selling it as Bruce Springsteen on Broadway.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree.
It's making me mad. And then I got even more mad you didn't get my Raving Lunatic on this one. Are you ready for this? The theater, the company who owns the theater, I should say, gave him the venue for no rent for 8 weeks.
What's the theater?
Could you do that for a show? Really? The boss can afford it. Walter Kerr Theater.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. So what do we all feel about that one? I mean, I'm going to be the crazy old lady. So
I don't know enough information about it to form.
They may be taking a percentage.
Yeah. I would be interested to
know. No, you want to know what their response is. He's going to keep the lights on in the building and we'll sell gazillions of dollars worth of booze.
Well, booze is good. I don't know what to say.
Now, I know, but the whole thing is I know he's wanted to take his book, Born to Run, and make it a musical. So I was thinking, oh, maybe it's some of that. No, he's just doing a pared down version of his actual concert, of his actual set.
So here's the deal that I will say about that, is that it's going to keep a lot of people employed during those
Absolutely.
8 weeks.
Absolutely.
That's people backstage, that people in the lobby, those are ushers, that's house manager, there's a lot of people that will stay employed in a time where they might not have had those employment weeks or those health insurance weeks, so it might be a great thing to a lot
but
of people.
But let's just call it what it is.
Oh, it's
Bruce
not
Springsteen will be performing in a limited engagement on a Broadway stage.
No, I completely agree. But I do
got
think
so
the
angry, and I'm a Jersey girl, and I was like, I feel like I'm turning on my, but this is wrong.
Yeah, I agree. But the silver lining is those people who get the health insurance weeks. That makes me happy.
Yes, and actually, you know what? It'd probably be really cool to see him play in an intimate little space like that.
Don't you know those ushers are all a flutter?
They're born in the USA.
Or not.
They were, baby, I was born to ride. Okay, sorry. I gotta stop. All right, Lin-Manuel, who can do no wrong. Did you see what he's doing?
No.
He is going to be part of this giant benefit that they'll be having this Sunday evening for the Grenfell Towers, for the fire that just the incident that happened in London last Friday. I don't know, there's a lot going on, but he's going to be leading a big benefit that they're doing. There's a huge Judi Dench is going to be a part of it because who doesn't love the Dame? Ricky Beadle Blair, Rachel Tucker. There's a giant list, but since he's over there filming the Poppins sequel at the moment, which there are some really amazing, awesome stills out of.
When you say Poppins sequel, you don't mean the actual sequel. You just mean like the Poppins remake.
Mary, No, it's going to be a sequel. It's not actually like a remake. It's like a leaving.
What happens after?
Kind of. They didn't. Do you really want to touch the Julie Andrews classic?
Well, but I didn't know it was. It's a sequel?
It's like, yeah, continuation.
Like, how does it end?
Well, you're going to have to tune in to Emily Blunt and Lin-Manuel and see what they do.
I didn't know it was a sequel.
Yeah, that's what they're calling it. They're saying it's not a remake.
Hmm.
I mean, they could be trying to change, you know.
Shady.
They could be trying to fool us like they did with Annie.
Shade.
Although I wasn't fooled by that. So that's what's going on there. And I'm kind of like, that is pretty awesome. So he's all like, that's why he's so baby faced right now. It's because he's for the Burt.
Mm-hmm.
For the Burt. But the stills are really cool. Oh my God. So New Zealand had a giant controversy about Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. The city of Wellington got into a little Twitter. Well, it's not a Twitter fight because he is Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber and he is very polished in his tweets. But the Wellington decided that they were going to change the lyrics and make the song Israel, change the word Israel and replace it with kindness. So the lyrics don't read children of Israel are never alone. They read children of kindness are never alone. They were just taking unauthorized edits to his music. So one of these reporters tweeted him and tweeted Wellington and said, "Hey, Wellington, do you have Tim Rice's permission to alter his lyrics regarding changes made to Close Every Door, the song in the upcoming Art Splash Fest?" This is a huge thing the city's doing. And she wrote, "Hey, it's changed the children of Israel's change the children of kindness. Why are you doing a Jewish theme song and then removing a Jewish theme lyric?" Sir Tim Rice, "Well spotted, Kate. This is totally unauthorized change of the lyric. Plus, it's a terribly dripping and meaningless alteration."
It is. It is.
So then he writes back to a few minutes later, "Hang on, Wellington. I've now read you've cut two Joseph songs. Is this true too? Either don't do the show or do all of it as written."
Don't get Tim Rice mad at you.
So the Wellington City Council wrote back to him and the reporter, "Apologies again. We've told the organizers today that the original songs must go back into the program, and that's what will happen."
What about the children of Israel?
The children community coordinator made an error in judgment, which we will rectify before the school kids perform in September. Sorry, we love your work. And he wrote back, "Many thanks. I greatly appreciate your generous and speedy correction."
See,
that is so graciously done.
If our nation's leaders could be more like Tim Rice in their negotiations.
That's right. It's so graciously done. I don't even know what to say. And I'm going to give Andrew Lloyd Webber one more moment because there's this amazing, I don't know if you know about this project, this song, the Sing for Hope piano project. Mm-hmm. Such a cool thing. And there right now, I think there's about 400 pianos in New York. They're pianos, they're funded, they're output in public places for you to play. They're all designed by an artist, and then they get donated into the schools afterwards. And there's an Andrew Lloyd Webber piano that they have right now in Central Park. So since he has a gajillion shows running on Broadway, they got the cast of School of Rock and Cats and Phantom to go and christen this piano in Central Park and put on a performance on his actual decorated piano before it gets donated to the schools.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's on the, there's a whole map when you go, I think it's singforhope.org. But when you go online, you can see the little map of where all the pianos are. They're on display through the end of the month before they go into New York City public schools. This is the 400th artist designed piano to date. So that's how many pianos they've put into school. I love a piano, a grand piano. I mean, that's pretty cool. So wouldn't that be awesome if we had something like that in Austin?
That would be cool.
It would be cool. Literally, we're running out of time, so I'm make this quick. Madam Butterfly found a home.
Didn't know I was looking for one.
Well, Julie Taymor is going to be directed, the Clive Owen starring in it, and the Madam Butterfly. They found a home, set a date. It's going to be at the Court Theater. Opens.
Wait a minute. Is it M. Butterfly?
Yeah, what did I say? Oh, I said Madam, sorry. And I have everything in front of me because the opera was just here recently and I still have the commercials in my head.
Gotcha.
Like it just played here in Austin. Yes, and Butterfly, that Lisa met John Lithgow when working on that one and stuff. Yes. This I don't understand, but I have to. It's Liza, so I'm going to say it. So there's a tribute to Liza. Totally makes sense. A concert series called Broadway the Golden Age. They're honoring Liza. Michael Feinstein is conducting it. But I love that Joel Grey is singing to her. I'm like, why aren't we all singing to Joel Grey?
Right? Isn't that a little bit?
That just was the weirdest headline to me. I was like, why is Joel Grey honoring Liza?
Liza tributes are the new Sondheim birthdays. Do you remember when it was like every year it was like, we're doing another Sondheim tribute. Now Liza tributes are the new Sondheim
birthday.
Well,
here's the best. The concert, Minnelli's going to attend. Stop the presses.
She's not there yet.
Here's what they're going to be featuring in this showcase. Cabaret, West Side Story, Oklahoma, and Grease are the musics. Yeah, okay.
What?
So confused on so many levels. Yeah. I'm not the only one.
Good.
Yeah, that's where we left. So, and I'm going to say this because the Jimmy Awards are on Monday, and we can talk about the Jimmy Awards next week. But also made an announcement. My favorite musical, Brigadoon.
Oh, can't go there with you.
Why? No, I can't. They're going to do a concert version.
I'm already sleeping.
It's October 15th through 19th.
I'm sleeping.
I'll be starring Kelly O'Hara.
Oh, sleeping!
It was Stephen Pasquale, but it's sleeping. No longer because now it's Patrick Wilson. Why, people? Mm. So, in honor of that, I chose one of the rare
songs I actually
like, not the Heather on the Hill, from that musical. And I'm going to give Brigadoon a little airtime and show it some love.
That's so weird, Nicole. Go for it.
At 16 years, I was.
Welcome back to Offstage and On the Air. I'm Nick Mayo with fellow host Nicole Shiro. Together we are
Nick Squared! Oh my god, we didn't do that in the opening. No wonder I felt so off.
And I felt a little naked without it.
Yes, Lisa's like, there it is.
There it is. Anyway, we're lucky to have Different Stages production of The Dresser here with us today with director Bob Tolaro. Say hi, Bob.
Hello, everyone.
Ev Lunning.
Hello, hello.
And Norman Blumensat. Hello. So, guys, tell us a little bit about Different Stages. Bob, you want to take the lead?
No, I'm going to hand that over to Norman since he's the producer of Different Stages.
Great. Norman, tell us what The Dresser is about.
Well, The Dresser is about an actor manager in the 40s who is touring the provinces in England with an easy repertoire of Richard III, Merchant of Venice, a King Lear, just rotating one play
and
after
Othello. Just an easy
and Othello. All of these very easy classical roles to play.
Easy rep.
Yes, yes. And
easy rep.
He's losing it. And so he's lost it, and they don't know whether they're going to make it through King Lear. So the whole play is about getting him ready to do King Lear.
How fun. Have you ever had a situation like this where you went, oh, I'm doing all these things, maybe I bit off more than I can chew artistically? Is this anything about this piece familiar? What drew you to it?
Bob Tolaro. True.
He's grinning. The listeners can't see that, but Bob is grinning behind the mic as you say that.
Well. There's times with Ev's character where he goes, "Who picked this play?" And I go, "You did." And there's times that I feel like, "Did I pick this play? We forgot about the exploding car in Act 3. Do we have to do that on stage? Oh no, it's part of the plot." So there's times that I relate to it on that level. As well as being a person who likes the classical theater and the fact of, the whole idea of how difficult it is to produce these plays, let alone get ready for them backstage.
Hold on one second. I had Michael Meeks give me a number earlier today.
Do we have a visitor?
We have a visitor for one second. Let's see who's here.
Late 19th century psychiatry is a trip.
Well, that's not who's here.
No, I could.
They may come later. Let's see who's here.
What is it that we...
They're not who's here.
Third time's a charm.
Which is what
who's
we said
here?
To Michael with the numbers. Ready?
Hello, I'm Leroy Reams, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 FM.
You know, Nicole, that was amazing. I liked him. I liked him the best. Let's let him stay.
I love Leroy, to be honest with you. I mean, hello, 42nd Street.
Right?
Naughty body.
So back to our friends at Different Stages. Bob, as the director, what attracted you to this piece?
Well, there are a couple things. Not only is it, I call it a love story.
It's not only a love story in terms of the relationship of a service to a cause or to a profession, but it's also a love story involving the theater and how England dealt with the war. It takes place in 1941. Bombs are going off all around the theater. And at the time, they've been bombing for 2 years already. And the country has gotten so numb to it that they still went to the movies. They still went to the theater. Mm-hmm. And as the bombs go off, they invite people to, you can either stay or go. Hmm. But it's safer if you stay.
Wow.
Right? So that was part of it. The other part of it is it's such a tribute to the backstage world. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, having toured so much, I know dressers one-on-one over all over the national tours and backstage stages. So it's kind of a tribute to all those professions.
That makes sense. And for our listeners who don't know the marvelous Bob Tolaro, he's not only a genius director and a wonderful actor, but a phenomenally accredited stage manager. And you've worn so many hats in this industry that I could see why this piece attracted you.
Yes, that was part of it. Yeah.
And Ev, what character do you play in this piece?
The character is called Sir, because he wishes he were a knight, but isn't yet. But so it's an aspirational title. In fact, he has a huge jealousy for another associate who was knighted, and he says, "Why they knighted that dwarf? I'll never know." So there's this theatrical jealousy and competition.
Did you know this piece before?
I remember, you remember the days of the old Fireside Theater where mm-hmm. you could fill a library shelf with
them? Yeah.
And I remember reading it when it first came out. And I remember I saw the movie with Alfred Finney here in Austin when it went.
When you saw it, did you think, ooh, I want to do that? Is it something you were attracted to?
I didn't have that feeling, but uh-huh. It's just so full of yummy stuff that
well, Bob, wouldn't want it. Bob Tolaro mentioned that y'all have a little scene.
We do.
You do? So maybe we could hear some of that.
Why else would we
yummy stuff?
Bob, do you want to set this scene up?
I don't know what scene they're doing. I better let Norman do it. We have many scenes.
Many scenes.
Oh my, you're going to let me do it. Well, once he comes in totally disheveled, the whole thing is like, can we get started? I spend lots of time trying to pump him up or trying to get him to respond or any kind of thing. So this happens right after the stage manager keeps interrupting us going, will he be ready? Will he be ready? Can we do the show? So this kind of happens after one of the times the stage manager.
And so, yeah, then Sir has come to the end of his rope and found it frayed.
And we don't want to get Sir to the end of his rope.
Oh, dear.
So we have Ev Lunning and Norman Blumensatt doing a scene from The Dresser by Ronald Harwood at different stages.
Oh, look, a dressing gown. Shall we put it on and keep ourselves warm? What's it matter where you were or what you did today? You're here, in the theater, safe and sound, where you belong, and a full house. Lovely.
Really? A full house?
There'll be standing room only.
Do you know they bombed the Grand Theatre Plymouth?
And much else of the city besides.
I made my debut at the Grand Theatre Plymouth.
They weren't to know.
I shouldn't have come out this autumn, but I had no choice. He made me.
Who?
I should have rested.
I had a friend who was ordered to rest. He obeyed. That was nearly the end of him. He was ever so ill. Nearly became a Catholic. Would you like a little rub down? I'm not surprised you're feeling dispirited. It's been ever such a hard time. No young men to play the juveniles, and the trouble with Mr. Davenport Scott.
What news of Mr. Davenport Scott?
The police have opposed bail.
What?
Well, he had had his second warning.
How then do we dispose our forces?
Mr. Thornton is standing by to play fool.
And who is Oswald?
Mr. Brown, I'm afraid.
That leaves me a night short for reason not the need.
98 short, actually, if you take the text as gospel, so one more or less won't be too upsetting.
Thornton toothless as fool, Brown lisping as Oswald, Oxenby limping as Edmund. What have I come to? I've never had a company like this one. I'm reduced to old men, cripples, and Nancy boys. Herr Hitler has made it very difficult for Shakespearean companies.
Wow. Oh, wow. So this actually has some relevant qualities to it.
Absolutely. This is theater as an act of defiance against fascism, in mm-hmm. fact.
Wow, what a great... I didn't realize that this was so relevant until...
You never know. You don't choose them for that.
It is Very much so these days.
So, Bob, what is the movie? And now I can't remember the name of that movie. The one about the Ministry of Information, the British movie.
No, I don't recall. I can't remember
it. There's a movie out right now about people who worked for the British Ministry of Information creating a movie that, you know, to pump up the British people. And at the end of it, you actually see the woman who ends up writing the script. She goes to the movie theater and you actually see it. And and the woman next to her, I love it because the woman next to her goes, "I've seen it 20 times." but that whole idea that you know, that if you could keep up people's morale through entertainment, through stories.
And boy, do we need that now. How many other people are in this? How large of a cast is this?
Nine.
Folks. Nine. Mm-hmm. And if an audience was coming to the theater and wanted to come and see you guys, what would they be expecting? And obviously, there's great humor and great. Tell a little bit about someone. If you're picking a date night, what are you looking for?
It's a bromance. What can I say?
A bromance. I was about to say, you guys have a personal bromance going on too, so I see that on and off the stage.
That's fantastic. So, Ev, talk a little. You guys open
on Friday.
Tomorrow?
Friday.
Or today's Wednesday, yeah, so Friday.
So I bet you're aching for an audience.
Oh, we are. We're through laughing at our own jokes.
That is awesome. Right. Well, thank you guys so much. We're running out of time, but I hope you don't leave and you can stay backstage and talk to us a little bit later on. Would that be cool?
Sure.
A
bit.
Yeah.
Great. So that was Bob Tolero, Ev Lunning, and Norman Blumensat from Different Stages production of The Dresser, running June 23rd through July 15th at the Vortex Theater on Manor Road. For more information, you can visit differentstagestheater.org.
And that's theater spelled the French way, theatre.
Thank you.
That's Norman's tagline.
What is it that we're living for?
Well, hello. Oh, that was fun.
That was a nice fade, Nicole.
I'm a fader.
You're faded.
I have to tell you, the images, I didn't let them know, but the images from the show look like haunting, but you can tell there's witty, like, I don't
They're
know.
Beautiful, beautiful images.
I live images and then finding out what we're going to expect. So we're going to just do our local in 2 seconds so we can talk to the City Theater and Taming of the Shrew. So just there's a lot of stuff closing this week. A lot of stuff closing this week. If you waited the last 2.5 months to go see Chanel and Lady Day, you waited almost too long because it closes this weekend. So you have till the 25th. That's at Zach Theater, zachtheater.org. Guys and Dolls is closing. If you've been waiting to get, you know, Luck Be the Lady tonight for you, Austin Playhouse, austinplayhouse.org. If you're looking for also our guest last weekend, The Revolutionists, Young Shakespeare, Around the World in 80 Days, all closing. So there's a lot of stuff closing. If you want
to
know what's...
It's a good weekend to get out and go to the theater.
Yep, you could get a show every day and then go see all this other new stuff because our next guests are going to be part of this package of closing and they're here to tell us before they go too.
And listen, it's hot. Go to the theater. It's cold in the theater.
It is. I know. You have to dress nice. Antarctica. So there's a lot of good stuff. NowPlayingAustin.com has some listings. Central Texas Live Theater.com has some listings.
Or just find an artist and talk to him.
I was about to say, we got a lot of cool people around. So here, today in theater history, I'm kind of bummed because on Monday, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas opened, but that was Monday, not today. But here's a cool one. Al Hirschfeld was born today.
Oh,
I know. 1903. St. Louis, Missouri.
That's cool.
Sorry, Judy Holliday. I didn't run anything exciting. I was going to play Judy Holliday. Today is her birthday, too. She died young and crazy. But Bells Are Ringing is what you'll know her for. Hurley Burley opened in 1984.
Huh, that's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Didn't think it was that long. But here you go, because it's Andrew Lloyd Webber Day. Today, in 1992, he was anointed Sir.
Aw.
I know.
Happy Sir Day, Andrew.
I know. I'm like, why is he everywhere? He makes me laugh. I don't know why. But playwright, director, and screenwriter passed away. George Axelrod did The 7-Year Itch, Goodbye Charlie, all that good stuff in 2003. And Richard Adler, who wrote everything, Damn Yankees, Pajama Game. Mm-hmm. I love my pajama. See, Kelly O'Hara was good in that.
She was very good.
With Jerry Ross, he wrote all those with Jerry Ross. He passed away in 2012. I slack, unlike Lisa. I did not look up local birthdays. And so everybody local, I am so sorry.
I know a certain Bob Talaro had a birthday last week.
He had a birthday last week. I know Amanda Adams has one on Saturday because we're close to each other. But let's see. Today's birthday is Dorothy Stickney, Mac Gordon, Mary McCarthy, Jane Russell, Maureen Stapleton, Don Black, Marriott Hartley, Michael Gross, David Marshall Grant, and Benjamin Walker.
Oh,
we love that, Benjamin.
I knew you when you were Ben Davis.
Bon anniversaire. And Nick, this was your song. It's not the song that you chose. It's a song. The song you chose is not on the soundtrack for The Rink, by the way, even though it's been in my head all day. So I chose the next song that I kind of thought you might be feeling that would go with it.
Thanks, Nicole.
And we'll be right back after this with City Theater.
What happened to the old days?
Welcome back to Offstage and On the Air. I'm Nick Mayo with my colleague in crime, Nicole Shiro. Together we are Nick Squared.
Nick Squared!
If you're just joining us...
I don't know why it cracks us up. At least we amuse ourselves.
If you're just joining us, we're having a really great show today, having some wonderful guests. And our next guests are City Theater and their production of Taming of the Shrew. Here in the studio, we have Michael Meggs. Say hi, Michael.
Hey, how are you?
We've got Rory Roberts.
Hello.
And we've got Brittany Fleury.
Hello.
So guys, Taming of the Shrew. I've heard of it.
It's been around for a bit.
Yeah. It's a revival, right?
Has anyone... You know what's so funny? I wonder, do people ever say Shakespeare's a revival anymore?
Because I think we should start
it really
saying
is.
That.
I think we should...
Let me do this again. Please welcome City Theater and their revival of The Taming of the Shrew.
Well, actually, you might call it a reversal of The Taming of the Shrew.
Oh,
plays both Kate and Petruchio, although not
the same night. Interesting. Interesting. That's kind of cool. So where'd that choice come from?
Our director, Kevin Gates, decided that Taming of the Shrew has been through some hard times because the society has moved away from the viewpoint that used to think it was funny.
It couldn't get a revival but until now.
Exactly. So now a reversal, a renewal, is what's happening at City Theater.
So for those of you who might not know what Michael was referring to, this play has gotten a lot of, it has gotten not a lot of attention due to the fact that it's seen as incredibly sexist. It can be seen. And it can be seen as misogynistic and abusive to females. That being said, what Michael said was trying to present this in a different way, right? Is that what I'm? That's what I'm hearing?
Absolutely so.
So putting an emphasis on the strength of the woman, shrew is such a negative connotation, right? To call someone a shrew is pretty harsh back in Shakespeare's time. So if we're imagining, I mean, you can fill in the blanks what that would be in modern vernacular. but you know, I mean, it's quite harsh. So I love the idea that you're kind of flipping it and putting a different light on it.
What are some of the other little nuances that kind of redo, you know, revive? What was the word you used again?
It's a renewal.
Reversal.
One of the very interesting things is that Shelby Miller and Brittany Fleury exchange roles from one night to the next. So the rest of the cast reacts to them and the characters they have created as Kate and Petruchio.
So you could really go and you get a totally different experience.
It's a different
when
show
you
every
go,
night.
Yeah, then it's really a different show.
And there are some very interesting touches in it where you see these two female actresses creating characters who are not abusing one another, but who are coming to an understanding, a mutual understanding in a society that's surrounded by a sexist viewpoint. There's a lovely moment toward the end when, after Petruchio wins the bet about whose wife is going to be the most submissive, Petruchio takes all that money he's just won and he hands it to Kate. And then they go off stage, obviously going to enjoy themselves.
Wow. You know what I like about this, Michael, and all of Brittany and Rory, is that this is one of my... the language in this piece is so smart, so great. The arguments are so tight.
I was about to say, the arguments in this show, I really, they're just written so
beautiful.
Yes. The banter is fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun to play with.
How is it playing two very different roles?
Oh my goodness. It's been a lot of fun. It's been challenging, but it's also been incredibly interesting because often we explore characters and we explore their relationships with the other people as we play them and as we go through the show, but to really be able to look at it through both of their lenses is something that I've not been able to experience before. So it's given Shelby and I a much more intimate understanding of their relationship and of the characters because we're looking at it from both ways.
See, and then people don't have to go to New York to see Little Foxes. They can have a moment like that right here in Austin.
For those of you who don't know what Nicole's talking about, Laura Linney and Cynthia Nixon are doing the same sort of conceit with a production of Lillian Hellman's Little Foxes where they both switch roles. So Rory, talk a little bit about your role in the piece and how, and what you bring to this argument.
There was there's a lot of big smiles is, behind the mics here as Nick asked that question.
Well, there may or may not be a puppet in the show.
I'm going to bet on there might be.
There's totally a puppet. So I play the roles of Grumio and Curtis.
Yes.
And this is kind of like a happy accident that we ended up with this. We had our Curtis have to drop out at like the last minute. And so I asked the director, I was like, well, can I bring someone on from the audience? And he's like, try it. And I tried it with him and it didn't work. So he's like, how do you feel about a puppet? I was like, yes, I'll do a puppet. So I have this like really adorable little old man puppet that comes out as Curtis. And he's kind of dirty, like dirty minded, because he checks out ladies.
How
terrific pair of voices that you give them as well.
Oh, yes. Yes. Curtis has a...
Give me a little Curtis.
Tell me, Nick, how goes the world?
Oh my gosh. That's Curtis sounds like he's friends with my alter ego, Deb.
Hey, Deb, how you doing?
I'm good. Oh my God, that's very exciting.
You want to go get drinks later, Deb?
Sounds like a good idea. Oh my, I love it. Now, Michael, you were saying that y'all have a short little scene,
yes,
right?
Yes, there's a very short scene when Petruchio has come to town and he has said that he's ready to woo Caterina. And I'm playing Grumio, the old guy who's leching after the younger daughter. And I receive this news and interrogate Petruchio. So it starts when I learn, you say he's willing to woo her? So done is well. Hortensio, have you told him all her faults?
I know she's an irksome, brawling scold. If that be all masters, I hear no harm.
No. Sayest thou so, friend? What countryman?
Born in Verona, old Antonio's son. My father dead, my fortune lives for me, and I do hope good days and long to see.
Oh, sir, such a life with such a wife were strange. But if you've a stomach to it in God's name, you shall have me assisting you in all. But will you woo this wild cat?
Will I live?
Will he woo her? Aye, or I'll hang her.
What came I hither but to that intent? Think you a little din can daunt mine ears? Have I not in my time heard lions roar?
Roar!
Have I not heard the sea puffed up with wind, rage like an angry boar chafed with sweat? Have I not in the field great ordnance heard, and heaven's artillery thunder in the sky? Have I not in a pitched battle heard loud larums neighing steeds?
Nay. Nay.
And trumpets clang. And do you tell me of a woman's tongue that gives not half so great a blow to hear as will a chestnut in a farmer's fire? Tush, tush. Fear boys with bugs.
For he fears none!
Hortensio, hark. This gentleman has happily arrived, my mind presumes, for his own good and ours.
Wow.
Okay, that was a lot of fun. And today was one of those days I wish we had the video cam that Lisa and I used to do.
For those of you who are just joining us, this is City Theater's production of Taming of the Shrew, and that was a scene with Michael Meggs, Rory Roberts, and Brittany Fleury. Brittany,
Total folly. The folly was awesome sauce. That was a lot of fun,
Rory,
you guys.
I've got to call out boar. Boar sound. What was the boar sound you did? Oh, boar. That was my favorite.
Because I'm sweaty and it's gross. Get it?
One more time. Boar. Thank you.
The boar chafed with sweat.
Yes.
So you guys are closing this weekend, mm-hmm. correct? And how have you had a good time? How have houses been so far?
It's been great. We've had a really good time. And it's interesting because people come, they're like, oh, wait. You switch characters? So, okay, what night do I need to come back so I can see the other version?
Oh, cool.
About to say this, to hear the feedback of this take on everything and the switching of the characters must be really cool because, you know, it's not the norm of the Shakespeare.
What's really terrific is for the rest of the cast to hear this from night to night, not only getting deeper and deeper into the Shakespearean language, but appreciating the different takes of these two women. They're terrific, and we all applaud them at the curtain call like crazy.
Well, I thank you guys for continuing to do Shakespeare. And
me too.
I think Austin is lucky to have creators, collaborators, theater companies, artists who continue to do Shakespeare. So thank you for being with us here today, but also for doing this work. It's important.
So how big is your cast? I know we're running out of time, but I just wanted...
I think we're 12, is it?
Yeah. That's a nice... Another... Boy, Andy likes the hearty cast on that stage.
No doubling in this one. We are all holding down our own roles. And in fact, Rory's got two simultaneous.
So talk about this weekend. We've got a show on Friday, a show on Saturday, and a show on Sunday.
And a show on Thursday.
And a show on Thursday. So Thursday through Sunday. Thank you guys so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, I hope.
CityTheaterAustin.org.
Great.
Yes, and I hope you guys will stay around, if you can stick around and meet us backstage by the dumpsters for a few minutes to talk to us.
Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So that was City Theater and their production of Taming of the Shrew with Michael Meggs, Rory Roberts, and Brittany Fleury. City Theater's production of The Taming of the Shrew this Thursday through Sunday. Information at citytheateraustin.org.
Guaranteed to flee. Comitophobes with hair and charisma.
Did you laugh at that? If this woman did a musical, it's Shakespeare. Bleh, I can't say the word, but she doesn't say the word. She has stars in it.
It's similar
to
Shrew.
It's a musical soundtrack. No, she has all these different characters from different... This song was called... Kate Explains the Taming of the Shrew. And it's from Kate's perspective. And she plays all these different characters and all these different numbers, giving a, here's what's going on. And the album makes me laugh really hard. The woman's name is Susanna Rich, the artist.
Nice.
By the way, also reason why I chose Brigadoon, because this would make you laugh. Your old neighbor who seems to be in the headline all the time has the same name as the performer playing Meg Brockie in Brigadoon, Megan Kelly. So I chose it because it made me laugh. But Nick, you kind of, we missed Lisa today, the total bummer. You were kind of like rocking the house today, leading on everything.
Well, Nicole, it was really fun. It's been a while since you and I have been at the...
I know, because you've left Lisa and I alone for 2 weeks.
I know, mm-hmm. I know. And we send our big love to Lisa, but it was really fun to be with you
today.
It
was fun to be with you. And actually, next week, Tracy Schultz is going to guest engineer.
Whoop, whoop.
And you're going to take the lead and host. And you have a special guest co-host next week.
I do. You can join me next week on Offstage on the Air. We'll all be hosting while both my friends, Nicole and Lisa, lay on the beach together and sip mojitos.
Yeah, that's not what's happening. We're both working, but I wish we were doing that.
But you can join me next week when my co-host will be Keith Contres McDonald, who plays Usnavi in the Heights at Zach Theater.
So yeah, that's going to be exciting, and I can't wait to hear what you guys talk about. But so you can like us on Facebook, you can like us on Stitcher, you can get us on iTunes. Best way to get us, Nick?
You go to offstageonair.com and you enter your little name in the box in the right-hand corner, and boop, 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 boop. We show up in your mailbox.
Yep, the show just arrives there, just not the stuff that we are airing live here, and also our podcast Backstage, where we learn a little bit more about the artists themselves besides the show. So I picked a song here because I love this song. This is, I just love it so much, and you know how I'm obsessed with the Civil War.
I love this show.
From Frank Wildhorn, and I chose Miss Patti LaBelle singing the tune Someday. So we're going to go out a little bit of that, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you guys next week.
Mighty Pharaoh could not hear what old Moses heard. The desert lion.
Okay, that was a great show. Thank you for joining us back in the alley after our matinee production of She's a Shrew and You Know It. I'm joined by our lovely Nicole Shiro, half of Nick Squared.
Nick Squared.
And our wonderful guests. Could you please introduce yourself?
Rory Roberts and Brittany Fleury.
Say hi, Rory.
Hello.
And Brittany.
Hello.
Awesome. So great show
Thank
today, guys.
Thank you, ladies, for sticking around by the dumpsters with us.
Yeah,
today.
I know it's a little stinky. We had Torchy's Tacos for catering 3 weeks ago, and they haven't taken the trash out.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, this is an opportunity for us to get to know you a little bit more. So, Rory, who are you? What do you do? Tell me about it.
I'm a teacher. I teach high school theater in Del Valle.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Amazing. You did a wonderful production of Beauty and the Beast this year, didn't you?
I did.
Amazing. Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Just read
Thank
about
you.
It.
I love my kids. So
tell a little bit about your story. How did you come to theater? Are you originally from this area? So
I grew up in Bandera, which is the
cowboy capital. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So
it's
doing,
not far from here.
No, it's not.
Camp Verde General Store.
Yes. Yes. I
Good
used
sandwich.
To drive past it all the time to go do community theater an hour away
at the point.
The point.
So yeah. Peter Pan at the point.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I knew people in that.
Nice.
And went to school at Texas State, got my BFA in theater, and decided a couple years later that I wanted to teach because I love theater and I love kids. And so I've been teaching ever since. It's been an adventure, and I love it.
That's so awesome. Lisa, Nick, and I are always going crazy. We're like huge arts advocates and education. And so thank you doing that. That's awesome.
I saw this great post last night on Facebook from this woman who had gone to see Julius Caesar at the Delacorte.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the best things that she said was like, this is why we need arts education, because if these men had like actually been to see a play before going to this or had learned how to speak in public, they would have made their point much better.
Of course. Of course. And so in the summertime, you have your summers free, or do you do
yes.
summer school?
No, I have summers free.
Summers free, so you get to go to a Shakespeare play.
Yes, yes, I do. And last summer, I got to actually go to New York and train at Theater for a New Audience.
Wonderful.
In how to like teach Shakespeare and incorporate it in the classroom. I also
oh,
got
that's
to...
so awesome.
It was amazing. And I do a lot of Shakespeare with my kids. We actually start the year with a Shakespeare showcase. So this past year, we had like 80 students performing Shakespeare. Like the first month of school.
I find now when I just say to a kid, I say Shakespeare, and they're like, oh, and I'm like, you do know the word fierce came from Shakespeare. And then
so
they
did Swagger.
They go, what? Mm-hmm. And then that's when I start dishing out. I'm like, and this, and this. And they look at me and I'm like, yeah, Shakespeare was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know what? It's you're the people who are doing the work that you're doing are the true, true heroes. Not only who are arts educators, but those who are also arts educators and value the classics and value Shakespeare. So how amazing.
Passing the torch.
Yeah, it's so important what you're doing. So important what you're doing. And your education at Texas State, was that a positive experience? Do you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It's a great program. And I met a lot of people there that I still associate with, and we've been able to network and really make some good things happen. I've had a great education, and I'm glad to share it with my students. I've also gotten to train at the Globe through the generosity of the English-speaking Union. So I love Shakespeare, so I'm happy to.
Do you have done musicals? Do you like musicals? Or
I do love musicals. They are exhausting to direct. So we do one musical every year at school. This year we're doing Addams Family.
Nice.
Oh, that's a fun one.
I'm excited and terrified, but I think it'll be good. And the kids are so excited. So that's.
And my understanding is, how long have you been with this the program in Del Valle? Is it Del Valle or Del Valle?
It's Del Valle, although it should really be Del Valle. But
okay.
That's just my personal opinion.
You say either, and I say either.
You say Del Valle, I say Del Valle. So how long have you been at with the school?
I just finished my sixth year there.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I just had my, I guess, third group of kids graduate that I've had all 4 years.
How exciting.
So wonderful and kind of sad.
I'm not sad.
Like, I miss them. Yeah. I have a student at Nationals this week for International Thespian.
I'd say they're all getting old enough where they're going to come back to you now and you'll hear of their adventures or what next chapter, you know, where they are in their next chapter in life. That's so exciting.
It is. It is. I have one student who at the school where I previously taught is now a band director.
Oh, cool.
You know, so I'm like, okay, I'm getting old. Time to.
No, that's amazing. And to see your inspiration and your mark left on them and them being an educator themselves. How cool is that?
It's nice.
Well, Austin is lucky to have you. And we're really, really honored to have you in the offstage on air world.
I know.
Miss Fluffy.
Flurry. But I like Fluffy.
I really just said Fluffy.
I would love if you could change your last name to Fluffy. I mean,
I could.
Definitely would
do
be.
You can't see how red I am, dumpsters people. But I definitely called Miss Flurry Miss Fluffy.
Blend into the dumpster.
I've heard many variations on my name throughout the years, so you're fine. It's not not the first time.
I'm so sorry.
Brittany, can I just say I love the face that you just made? Because you're like, okay, yes, and. Like,
she was rolling with it.
She's like, today I'll be Fluffy. I'll be the Fluffy.
Fine.
Listen, I have the last name Mayo, so like I
do you know my
I'm
brother
sorry.
Just realized your last name was Mayo? He just, I'm like, looked at Casey. I'm like, you know Nick? Because I was like, yo, and Mayo. And he goes,
who's Mayo?
He goes, who's Mayo? I go, Nick. He goes, is that his nickname? Or I go, no, that's his last name. He goes, this is the greatest. He literally lost. I'm like, okay, he's been to the house multiple times. Like, you know Nick. You just realized his last name is Mayo.
Yeah, Casey. Yeah. Love you, Casey.
It's a little slow sometimes.
Anyway, I apologize.
We made that about us. Sorry about that.
But I'm also horrible with names. So at least I got the FL right.
Yeah, you did. You were on the path.
So anyway, back, Brittany. <It's> Brittany, okay. Tell us a little bit about you, other than being a patient individual.
Yes, I am. No. I assist Babs George at the Actors School in running
love
that.
Love Babs.
I do too. She's incredible.
She is.
And then I also teach at the school.
Y'all are just a bunch of teaching, giving people, you little theater artsy do-gooders.
That's fun. I've been mainly teaching film recently, so that's
still
that's
the
great.
Arts. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
and
wonderful.
Tell us a little bit about how'd you come to Austin? You always been in Austin? What's your story?
No, I grew up in Lake Jackson, Texas, in good old Brazoria County. And then I went to Texas State University as well. I got my BFA in acting there, and then I moved to Austin. So I've been in the area for like 10 years now.
Nice.
Definitely an Austinite.
Okay.
So how did you get into theater?
I've been pretty intensely studying theater since I was like 12 and kind of got to go out and do it on my own. Mm-hmm. I had opportunities to perform growing up, but it was really like at that point when I'm like, oh, this can be my choice and it can be my thing. And so I've just been pursuing it ever since then.
I have a question for both of you, since you both are educators. Did you have an educator in your life that maybe influenced you, that sticks out for you still? I mean, I know I have one, but I'm not an educator. But, like, is there one that made you go, oh, wow, and I could do this, and oh, wow? And if so, do you want to give him a shout-out? Because I don't think educators get enough shout-outs.
I completely agree.
Just one?
Yeah. No, that's the difficulty.
There are so many. In honor of this show, though, I will have to say that my
high school theater teacher, Ron White, who was wonderful, and we did a lot of Shakespeare. And that was kind of where my love really came from. And he was big on, you know, you have to know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You can't just say it well. We've got to figure out what's actually happening and what's being said for it to be understood and to be important. And that's just, you know, looking back, I wouldn't have probably done a lot of the things I've done now had I not had that core foundation, really fallen in love with Shakespeare. Like, I got to go study with the Royal Shakespeare Company while I was at Texas State, and it really started with him, and I'm so thankful that I had that opportunity at that age.
That's cool. I'm also going to give a Shakespeare-themed shout-out. So my GT teacher in elementary and middle school was Mary Kling, and I came to her in fourth grade at the start of the year because I had discovered Shakespeare. I was like, oh, this guy's great. And so I went to her and I said, Miss Kling, can we do a Shakespeare play? Amazing. And she said yes, and we found like a cutting of Romeo and Juliet, so it was still a lot of the same language. It was just condensed.
Like a junior, smaller.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So like mini Romeo and Juliet. And I played Juliet and had a bunch of fun, and we spent like the whole year on it, and we did research into the time period and the culture and put on a play, a bunch of little fourth grade kids doing Romeo and Juliet. And it was so much fun, and I thank her regularly, and she says, nope, thank you, you did my lesson plans for the year. But she was just an angel who was like so encouraging and still is. I still stay in touch with her.
So Mr. Wright and Mrs. Kling.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
I like
great.
That.
I like those educators.
I do too.
Nicole, what about you? Do you have a teacher that sticks out?
Yeah, I have a few. I mean, Sandy Boynton is someone I met later in life, and I'd been doing theater professionally for a long time, but she just kind of changed the way I looked at things. And I still think of her too. And one of my educators in college, Brian Shaw, man, he just made you think outside of the box. Like, you came to theater class and he hand you a box of crayons and paper, mm-hmm. and make you fold a piece of paper and start drawing like illustrations and then pass it along. I'm like, what the hell does this have to do? But I got it and I understood it, and I got when you had the creature at the end and he gave you a sentence and you had to create a scene. And like, I the classes that I've taught, I've used a lot of what Brian Shaw mm-hmm. taught me. I also went to a school where all of our teachers were not only your teachers in college, but they also had to practice in the profession. So they couldn't just be a teacher. So you were taking a theater class, and then you were out watching your teacher be on stage. You mm-hmm. took an improv class, and then you were at Second City watching your teacher yep. in Second City. You took ballet class, and then you were at the Chicago Ballet, and there was your teacher yep. on stage. So it was a really, it was kind of a really cool experience where you felt like you were a peer and a mentor. Like, mm-hmm. there was that relationship. Like, you felt like a peer, but yet it was your mentor, but yet it was your teacher. And you mm-hmm. were a student, but you just, I don't know.
You felt it a was part of an ensemble company.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, it was kind of crazy. I mean, but there are a lot, but those two really. And then, you know, I have a dance teacher, Miss Peggy and Miss Glenda. They just taught me about life in general and how to stand and hold yourself in life and from dance.
Yeah.
But you need to use this in life and how you carry yourself and whether and that still, even though they had a crazy stick and scared the bejeebies out of me in my little tutu at 6 years old, I'm going on 45 and I can tell you, Miss Peggy and Miss Glenda,
yeah,
Legro Ballet, Houston, yeah. Like I can.
I would have totally pulled your ponytail in ballet. I would have stood behind you.
And I was a little girl that would have knocked you out and, said, and been like, I'm just as tough as the boys. That was me. Nice. Sassy McFrass. What about you?
David Monty in high school for giving me my first lead in a Shakespeare play and teaching me that it was actually living thought and not reciting things.
Just remember we were talking about Shakespeare for my father. Remember I told you that was mm-hmm. such, I've said to Nick before, Lynn Redgrave's one woman show in 84, Shakespeare for my father, really changed the way I looked at theater way afterwards. Sandy Boynton. Remember I said I had a teacher that made me go? I was so mad at her. All I wanted to see was Cheetah Rivera and kiss the Spider Woman. I was like, I don't want to go see this junk. Sandy Boynton. Yeah. It was Sandy Boynton that I was just talking about, that little stinker. She's the one that got me to go see it.
These educators are fantastic. David Monty and John Sticks in college. Well, you guys, this is, Austin is lucky to have you. And I've been teaching at the Texas Arts Project through the Long Center for the past couple of weeks. And I've been giving every single one of my high school students, 40 of them, Shakespeare monologues to work on. And they look at it like they're taking their medicine and they don't see the joy in it. Right. So, but some of them do, but they're starting to, after week two, the work that we're doing on it, they're starting to open up in such a beautiful way. So it's so wonderful to meet other educators who are founded in the same principles, and our students, our young ones are lucky to have you.
Thank you.
So if you, you have a favorite musical right now that you're listening to, or a song that resonates with you?
I'm sorry.
You're giggling. You have a song. You're giggling about it.
I have a musical that I am in love with. It's not like a new one, but it's called Othello, the Remix. By the Q Brothers. Have you guys heard of this?
No, oh, but wait. I think I hear it right now.
I hear
now.
It right now. Play.
That's it.
Dark and unforgiving system, we struggle with our destiny.
Nice.
When the world is crumbling, emerge from the rubble and your love is gonna set you free. I'm an extraterrestrial watching the world spin. What am I supposed to do? Feel like I'm on the outside looking in.